You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
A Thai man serves you coffee at Tim Hortons. A Mexican harvests your local blueberries. A Filipino woman nannies your children. Most Vancouverites accept this without question as part of our multicultural landscape. But many don't realize that these are temporary workers in Canada who are providing cheap labor and who, in turn, don't enjoy the same rights as Canadian citizens or residents. Marie Boti is an award-winning documentary filmmaker who has been following the disturbing trend of immigration policies which favor temporary foreign workers rather than permanent resident immigrants. Welcome, Marie.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for inviting me.
And when did you become interested in temporary foreign worker, the Temporary Foreign Workers Program in Canada?
Well, actually, we became interested in the program, which was specifically focused on live-in caregivers, and this was way back in the 1980s. Because as filmmakers, we had made a number of films in the Philippines about the people's movement there and the political, economic situation in the Philippines. And we found that there were like hundreds and even thousands of women who were coming to Canada, in the 80s and 90s to work as live-in nannies. And this was a trend that, you know, caught our attention because of all of the people that we were in contact with in the Filipino community. And we began working with the advocacy groups and the groups, seeking to protect the rights of these nannies, these live-in caregivers, because they were basically coming in under a Canadian program which kept them as indentured servants in private Canadian homes. And even though it's, it was disturbing because it the whole thing was based on supposedly individual choice, freedom of choice, that people were leaving because they wanted to see greener pastures abroad, and that the Canadian government was bringing them in because, well, this was an opportunity for them to work abroad and so forth. But if you look a little bit closer, what was happening were very systemic policies by both sides of the coin, that is the Philippine government and its labor export policy, was systematically encouraging hundreds of thousands of its own people to go abroad because of the lack of jobs at home, and also because the remittances that they were sending back home were basically keeping the economy afloat. And on the Canadian side, and I'm mentioning Canada, but Canada is certainly not the only country benefiting from the work of the migrant workers. Canada had various, generations of the live-in caregiver policy. Earlier on, it was called temporary worker program or something like that. I don't remember in the early days, but it came to be called the live-in caregiver policy. And the one plus about this policy was that after working in their employer's homes for a period of at least 24 months over 3 years, they could qualify to become permanent residents. They could apply for permanent residency. So this was kind of the carrot at the end of the stick that was dangled in front of the potential nannies and caregivers to draw them to Canada. So Canada was a very desired destination in terms of migrant workers, domestic workers and caregivers. But what happened is that, over the years, I mean, there were many organizations that that were formed across Canada to defend the rights of these caregivers because they were prone to abuse, because they were virtually at the mercy of their employers in their homes as far as in terms of who had the upper hand in the bargaining power and so forth, and there were lots of cases of abuse. And so what we noticed was that instead of improving the situation, the Canadian government expanded this whole area of temporary foreign workers to many other sectors of the economy, but with the change that there was no permanent residency at the end of it. So Canada basically has expanded its temporary foreign worker program to include workers in the fast food, as you mentioned in your introduction, workers in housekeeping, in janitorial services, in slaughterhouses, in packaging plants, and so forth, and to bring in temporary foreign workers on demand.
last November, you attended the Global Forum on Migration and Development in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. What was that conference about?
Well, as I mentioned, this situation in Canada is not an isolated thing, and as Canada's policies are not adopted in isolation, it's part of an international trend where, you know, to ensure flexibility of labor, to ensure that there is a mobile workforce that responds to the needs of capital wherever it is around the globe, and basically, the Global Forum on Migration and Development is an international forum made up of international institutions, including the, you know, representatives from the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, and as well as governments across the globe, including sending governments and receiving governments. That is, you know, ministries of immigration, ministries of labor, including international agencies like the International Organization on Migration. And the whole thing is that they're seeking to make the most of a situation which is that there are over 200 million workers across the world who are migrants, international migrants. And they are trying to govern the movement of these workers to make it as smooth as possible. Ostensibly, it's supposed to ensure that there won't be illegal migration. So that's why it's not a matter of trafficking or of illegalness. This is a matter of treaties between governments, bilateral treaties, international treaties, and so forth, to ensure the smooth movement of workers from their places of origin to the places where they're needed. But where they're needed is, and this is what's disturbing, and this is what is happening, is that it's employer-driven migration, so that people are moving to suit the needs of individual entrepreneurs, capitalists, large and small, and with, in fact, little regard for the conditions and for the situation of these migrants. So this Global Forum on Migration and Development has been taking place since around 2004, 2005, every year. You know, there's a big, huge conference that takes place in different countries. Earlier, the year before, it was in Greece. Before that, it was in the Philippines. Before that, it was in Belgium. And, you know, it's one of these big international conferences that have come to typify a globalization today. And I say globalization, but it's definitely a globalization that's imperialist globalization, because it's designed with the interests of the rich countries that have the large corporations that can exploit these workforces around the world.
Well, the argument from countries who depend on cheap migrant labor to fill the gaps in their own workforce, such as Canada, is that these temporary foreign worker programs also promote economic development in the nations exporting the labor. Is there any truth to that?
Well, this is definitely what they're trying to, this is the spin that they're putting on it, that this will lead to development of the exporting countries. But if we look at countries like the Philippines, which I'm very familiar with, I mean, we've been doing these documentaries about live-in caregivers and about migrant workers leaving the Philippines at the tune of 3,000 a day. And today, when we first started documenting them and making these documentaries, it was 2,000 a day. Now, 10 years later, or 15 years later, it's more than 3,000 a day. So it's not as if the push to leave the country is diminishing, but on the contrary, it's growing. And you find governments that are arguing that, yes, that this will lead to development, but in fact, you have to ask yourself, what is the role of a government if not to ensure a proper livelihood and jobs for its own population? And this is what, is quite shameful, I think, and kind of cynical, is that that's not at all. You know, there's nobody is raising the question as to why people have to migrate in the first place. And this is what the migrant organizations from around the world have started to do, is that each time there's this Global Forum on Migration and Development having its international conference, there's also a international alliance of migrants, international assembly of migrants and refugees that is meeting as a counter-conference to counter the discourse coming out of the GFMD and to expose the fact that we're talking about forced migration. We're talking about maintaining underdevelopment and preventing sustainable economies in the third world, so that the workers become one more commodity to export. And this is the case whether it be in Mexico, whether it be in the Philippines, whether it be in Indonesia, whether it be in Honduras and all the other areas of the Southern Hemisphere. And it was quite extraordinary when we went to Mexico, because at this International Assembly of Migrants and Refugees, there was this coming together of the whole migrant, militant migrant workers movement from Asia, who came together and joined with the migrant workers organizations in Latin America. And the similarities were astounding. I mean, they had similar situations, the conditions, the whole trade in migrants is similar, and also the fact that they're being preyed on in Latin America. It's quite scary, because there's a whole industry of, which is mixed in with the drug trade and the trafficking and so forth, which is preying on these migrants and kidnapping them for ransom and mass assassinations and so forth when people don't comply. So it's really a shocking situation.
Well, we've talked about some of the larger issues. Many Canadians view the temporary foreign worker programs as opportunities for migrant workers to better their lives. What is the reality of the migrant workers' experiences in Canada?
Well, the migrant workers who come to Canada, even though they're told that they're going to be temporary, Canada has the image abroad of being a land of immigrants. And so people think that, they'll come here and then eventually they'll be able to stay. So they go to great sacrifices to come here to take a job at minimum wage, and based on a contract which they have to respect, but which the employers are quite at liberty to alter in terms of the pay of the wages, in terms of the number of hours they're given, in terms of their housing and their other allowances and so forth. And basically the workers are often, they calculate that they're going to be able to repay the loans they took out in order to be able to come and work here, but often they're in debt for years. And the other thing that's happening is that there's a whole growth of an intermediary layer of enterprise, which is the recruitment agencies. So it's not unusual in fact, this is the case of the majority of workers coming here. Even though it's illegal for workers to pay recruitment agencies in Canada, still, the majority of workers coming from abroad to Canada are paying recruitment agency fees, either in the home country or both in the home country and in Canada. And we're talking, people paying $4,000 to $6,000 or even up to $10,000 for a minimum wage job in a packing plant or in Tim Hortons or in McDonald's, So, the people just, every cent that they earn goes one, of course, to their families who are depending on their wages for their survival, and also to pay back these agencies, which are, having a field day out here.
What do the changes in immigration policies to favor temporary foreign workers mean for Canada?
Well, what it means for Canada is that right now, I am an immigrant. My parents came as with me when I was a little baby or a little girl, along with two brothers and sisters, and we came as immigrants. My father was a worker. Same with Malcolm Guy, my partner, who we're working together on this documentary now. He also came from England with his parents, who were workers. Well, today we are contrasting that with the situation today. There's no way that our parents, would be able to come into Canada as immigrants. It would be impossible, because Canada's immigration system has become very elitist. It's you get the points if you have, diplomas galore. And there's nobody to fill these jobs which are needed in Canada, because Canadians feel that they don't want to take those jobs, and rightly so, because the working conditions are very poor. So instead of improving the working conditions, we outsource and we go and get migrant workers who have no choice but to accept the conditions or be deported.
You've mentioned your documentary, and so I just wanted to wrap up with that. You're currently working on a documentary about the subject. When will we be able to see it?
The documentary will be coming out at the beginning of next year. It's a documentary that's being made for Radio-Canada, the French network of the CBC, and I'm sure we'll have an English version as well. And, you know, and it's part of a long line of documentaries that we have made about the issue of migrants and migrant workers and international policies that favor forced migration. And that, you know, that basically are creating a mobile workforce that's at the mercy of employers around the world.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us today, Marie.
Okay, you're welcome, Sean.
We've been speaking with award-winning documentary filmmaker Marie Botti. For more information about her films on temporary foreign workers and her upcoming documentary, you can visit the Productions Multimonde website at pmm.qc.ca.